I'll be honest with you, this week I've struggled a little bit with the message because somebody said I only had 10 minutes. Amen. That's difficult when you like to preach and you like to teach and somebody says you've only got 10 minutes. Well, 10 minutes, I'm just getting through the introduction. Amen. So you guys are excited to be here until 3 or 4 today because Chiefs aren't playing. Amen. Right on. Yeah, it's an exciting game last week. It was sad to see them lose, but certainly I was excited to see how they played on the road. So this morning, we just come through Thanksgiving this morning. Today's going to be a little bit, maybe a non-traditional. I want to take a little different approach to communion this morning. We've just come through Thanksgiving. Are you thankful this morning? Are you thankful to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. I'm thankful to be here this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have, not only to live in a land. Think about the nation that we live in, although it's changing. To freely come to a place of worship. Today, our Christian brothers in China, if you're not aware, are suffering intense persecution as the issues with the United States have increased, and with Donald Trump being in administration the last 2 years, they've increasingly begun to persecute the Chinese Christian church. People are being locked up, they're being rounded up, Bibles are being burned. It's pretty intense in other places in the world. Jacob and Rachel could tell you about Nigeria and what's going on there. So I'm thankful this morning that we have an opportunity to come here so freely. I'm thankful this morning for the opportunity that Jesus has provided to us to be able to approach a holy God. You know, it's interesting, I find in the Bible, there's only one characteristic of God that has repeated over and over in any passage of Scripture. Is anybody familiar with it? One attribute, one characteristic of God that in one verse is restated three times. Garland, I know you can help me with this. Now, God is love. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holiness, when we talk about holiness, means to be separate. It means to be above. It means to be removed from sin. There is no sin in God. God is a thrice holy God. Love, justice, all these other characteristics of God, none are stated three times. This is an important characteristic as we approach the communion table. To me, there's no more sacred thing we do in the church than to observe communion. It is not a casual thing to come to the table of communion. Paul would say, writing to the Corinthians, that many among you are sick, and some have actually died because they approached it lightly. This is a very sacred time for us as a church. Because as we approach this, we are reminded of a sacrifice that was made for us, for you and for me. I want you guys to turn quickly in your Bible, Romans chapter 4. Let us be reminded of who we are. Now, I don't mean this to bum today out, but as we approach this table, it's important that we understand what the Bible says about us as a people, us as humans. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. The Bible says, "What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all guilty, and that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." No one in this room does good. No one in this room on your own has any righteousness. I don't care what you think about yourself. You know, it's interesting as you have conversations with people and you talk about, if you died today, why should God let you into heaven? And they'll immediately, people that don't have a true biblical understanding of sin and of unrighteousness and righteousness and the holiness of God, will say, well, I'm a good person. If I stood before God, He should let me, I'm a good person. I've never raped anybody. I've never killed anybody. I mean, it's not like I rob people, right? I'm a good person. Yet the Bible declares that there is none righteous. There is none that seeketh after God. But rather our throat is an open sepulcher. Our tongues are full of deceit, and we have the poison of asps in our lips. James would say in his book that, you know, it's interesting about the tongue, how one minute we'll bless, that the next minute we'll curse. The duplicity that is within us, and Paul writes about it in Romans chapter 7. Our mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Our feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in our ways. In the way of peace we have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that the things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It was hopeless for us. There was a time, you know, we as a church, we are advantaged that we look back at the cross. But there was a time before the cross, before Christ came, year after year, they would go up to the temple and they would offer sacrifices. They would kill lambs, they would kill bulls, they would offer pigeons, turtle doves if they were poor, to cover their sin, not to remove their sin. But the Bible says that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born under the law, that He might redeem us. Amen? Now, that's some exciting news this morning as we are here in Thanksgiving this morning. That's something to be thankful for, because apart from Christ, apart from this table, this which we do today in remembrance, you have no hope. I have no hope. There is nothing good in me. Nothing. Oh, on the outside I may look good. On the outside I may go through some motions. And on the outside I may not, you know, directly do things to harm you. But when you stand next to a thrice holy God who examines the heart, and that's an important part of this morning as we approach this communion table, is God is examining your heart and mind this morning. And it's important as we approach it that we allow the Holy Spirit to search us, to know us, to examine our own selves this morning. Not to approach this table lightly. Not to approach this table without thankfulness and thanksgiving. That God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe should not perish, but have everlasting life, a life that you do not deserve, a life that I do not deserve, a life that I cannot earn, a life that I cannot keep. That's the beautiful thing about this table. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that He entered into the Holy of Holies, not made with hands, by His own blood, to secure an eternal salvation for His people. Because I can't keep salvation. I couldn't earn it. How then can I keep it? If I am not kept by the blood of Christ eternally, how then shall I? How then shall you? This morning. This is a solemn time and a solemn occasion. Turn to Matthew this morning quickly. We'll be in chapter 26. I won't be long, I promise. I know that other teams are playing today. Lunch is important. It's probably been a long weekend. But I don't want to be too short either. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible records that Jesus, crying out to the Father, said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." So overcome with distress, understanding that He was to take your sin and my sin on Himself, and to, for the first time and only time, in all of eternity, to be separated from the Father. As God poured out His wrath on Jesus on the cross, that He's so overcome that He sweat great drops of blood. And it's possible, you know, physically, if you're under such duress, that your capillaries and your skin can rupture and for you to sweat blood. But you have to be under extreme duress. But I find it interesting as Jesus looked forward to that time, and in this passage in Matthew, we'll be beginning at verse 26 of chapter 26, that Jesus was thankful. some translations. You'll read. Beginning in verse 26, he says that they were eating. Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Hours before his betrayal and death. Yet here he's being thankful. Blessing the bread, giving it to his disciples. Understanding that what is about to happen, what is about to take place to him, and what it gains for you and I, those people who have no righteousness of our own. Those people, us as a people, have no good thing in us. And yet Jesus willingly laid down his life for us. Jesus said, "No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down." And at that time, Jesus gave thanks. And he broke the bread. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Our Lord, just before his death, symbolizing the brokenness of his own body, knowing what he was about to suffer and endure, the beating, the lashing, the rejection, the pain that he would endure physically. His body broken so that our body might be healed. Amen? We should be excited about that this morning. We should be thankful for that this morning, that our Lord so willingly loved us in spite of us. He loved you in spite of you, in spite of what you think about yourself, in spite of how good you think you are, in spite of how at times unthankful for we are for what Jesus, or we just become so commonplace to us. Is it common this morning what Jesus has done for you? Is, "Oh yeah, Jesus died for my sins." Heaven, God forbid that this should be common for us. God forbid that it should be something that we approach without an attitude of reverence. That he who knew no sin became sin. That we, an unrighteous people, might become the righteousness of God. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he gave thanks that his blood was about to be spilled for you and for me. I'm sorry, but as I think through this and I read these passages, I would not be thankful. I mean, I like you guys, but I don't like you that much. And you like me, but you probably don't like me that much. Paul would talk about that. Scarcely will one die for a righteous man. And yet would one die for sinners? Suffering such contradiction. Yet he gave thanks. And he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Drink all of it. Taking this, which represents the blood of Christ, he gave thanks that he was about to die for you and me. He gave thanks that he was about to reconcile his creation to himself. Let us give thanks this morning. Let us examine ourselves this morning. Robert, Mike, if you'd come. And let us reflect. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." Each time that you do this, remember the sacrifice that was made, the death of our Lord, so that you and I might have eternal life. Let us not approach this lightly this morning, but rather with reverence and thanksgiving for the sacrifice that was made. Seeing ourselves for who we are, seeing our Lord for who He is, and understanding God the Father, a thrice holy God, that in His presence no sin can dwell, that apart from Christ we have no hope. Greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for such a vile, and I'll just be honest, it's what the Bible says about us, unprofitable, unholy, unthankful, ungrateful people apart from Christ. This morning, as we continue our service, we're going to have a time of worship this morning. We're going to take communion in the back. We're going to do this a little bit different. The altars will be open if you would like to come before we take communion. I encourage you, if you have not this week, as I encouraged you last week, examine yourself. If there is sin in your life, you know, the Bible says that if we say we have no sin, we lie and deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If there's anything you need to deal with this morning, please come to the altar. There's no shame. And then let us observe communion this morning, reverently and thankfully, remembering the sacrifice that was made. Let us pray.